can bartending skills improve sales skills? Let me repeat. How can bartending skills improve sales skills? So as we prepare to delve into our conversation on the topic at hand, here's an exciting twist. First, let us tickle the brain of our guest, Neil Roger. Neil, get ready for a rapid fire round of random words. I'll mention a few and I would love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response. Are you ready for it?
Ready. Let's have it, Naveen.
I love the spirit, and let me fire the first word. Curiosity.
Music.
Invention.
Musk.
Future.
AI.
Book.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, I think it is still in the top trending chart for the last 6 to 7 decades. Yeah. Yeah,
well,
you said it
all. What is new again, Naveen?
Very true. And the movie?
The Magnificent Seven.
Awesome. Food?
Salmon. Matter of fact, I had it last night.
Ah, nice. And place?
Plymouth, Massachusetts, America's hometown.
Mm-hmm. And the next one is name other than Neil.
Mary, my mother.
Oh, wow. Animal?
I'm not a big animal guy, but I'll pick dog. Because there's just so many in this complex here. Everybody's got a dog.
Yeah, and the last one is world.
Well, amen. Peace.
Awesome. And thank you so much for participating so sportively, Neil. Appreciate it. And folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Naveen Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. And thank you so much for tuning in. And Neil, hearty welcome to the Guiding Voice. Super thrilled to have you here and engage in this conversation.
Glad to be here, Naveen. Have at it. Let's chat.
Let's chat. And here comes my first question. Can you share a bit more about your background and how your journey from bartending to salesperson has influenced your perspective on life as well as work?
Well, the whole bartending thing was really a journey for me. It started out as I really had no clue what I was going to do. I was aimless. I got out of high school at 17 years old. So I was young and very immature and really not ready for the next step. But I was also the seventh of eight children. The journey from the discovery of what I could be good at was my first discovery. And that, because I wasn't a great student, I was a middle of the road student. I always joked that my combined SAT scores and my class rank had one thing in common, and they were both in the triple digits.
Nobody was going to Harvard. I'm telling you that right now.
But I did take a swing at school, and I did okay. But you know, I didn't have much passion for it. I mean, where I went was more or less a continue. I didn't really know why I was doing it and all that. So I really kind of fizzled out. And all the while, I've been working in the hospitality business, doing back of the house stuff. I worked in the kitchen, busboy, making sandwiches, cooking breakfast, those types of things. And then I made my way out front as a bar back. So the bar backs are the guys that are doing all the work, right? They're getting the beer, they're getting the ice, they're getting the emptying the trash and all that. And it was really tough work. And I would watch the bartenders work, and I thought that was really cool. So my first foray into the bartending world was just because I thought it looked cool. Right. There was no career thought process going on. Probably the same reason why I used to play when I loved to play sports. I mean, hopefully to meet a cheerleader, right?
So yeah,
it wasn't about the competition or anything else. And so I did set out after failing at school, I did set out to get a bar job because I wanted to try it. And eventually got behind the bar in a place called the Full Sail in Whitehorse Beach, Massachusetts, which is a part of Plymouth, Mass. And I discovered pretty early on that the reaction I got from customers, the immediate feedback I liked, right? Good or bad. And of course, you really like the good first. I said, oh, they really like the drink and they like my service and all that. So I realized that I was going, I would be, my life's work could be serving people, you know, serving in some form of fashion. Mm-hmm. And so I set my, oh, so I'll be in the hotel restaurant business. Okay. So I went back to hotel restaurant school, another swing and a miss, right? I decided that this was not going to be my life's work. And, you know, let's just say also I was distracted in school. It wasn't just about, you know, not lack of vision. But so people would tell me, when the people that I, you know, my customers at the bar would say, you know, your interpersonal skills would really lend itself nice to sales.
Wow.
Okay. So now I've been good at one thing. So I know, I know now my self-esteem is back.
Yeah.
I can pour drinks. I can treat people. I treat people nicely. I introduce them to people. I can tell them where to go. I can recommend things and just like, you know, overall general interpersonal skills. And I was also pretty self-aware too of my own limitations. And I, to this day, I am. I set my sights on getting my degree. Now that I had a focus, I had a little bit of momentum going for me. So I went back to school and I became a very good student. Mm-hmm. I got my little, what do we call it in today's, I call it a process. I'm old school, but I think in today's parlance, it's an algorithm, right?
Yeah.
My algorithm was to be good at school was to show up, to actively listen, to take notes, to ask for help when I needed it, to go the extra mile to do the extra credit stuff, so that when it came down to whether you were going to get the B plus or the A minus, you got the A minus, right? So this how does this play in the sales world? Well, what's the most important thing? Actively listening.
Okay.
Take notes. Listen to what the pain points are. Don't make it about you. It's about them. Get them to speak about themselves. And this goes back to our friend in my book, Dale Carnegie. Right. So actively listen. Let them talk about themselves.
Yeah.
Don't be so anxious to tell them all about your products and your services and how great you are. It's like, listen, take the time. And that's a bartending skill from way back.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about you. They're coming into your establishment. They're sitting at your bar. Ask them about how their day is. What is it you prefer today? What are you thinking about doing after you leave here?
Yeah.
Why don't I make a suggestion? So the Red Sox are in town. Fenway Park, even if they're not in town, I would suggest go take the Fenway Park tour. So just simple things like that kind of shift from the service industry, bartending, waitressing, you know, anything of that, you know, working retail. You know, working retail. Let me, you know, the greatest help you used to be able to, well, now it's shifted back to the downtown department hardware store. You used to go to Home Depot. When you went into Home Depot, there'd be a sea of people in orange aprons there to help you. Now they're hiding on you. So guess what? You go back to the local guy, you walk through the door, hey, what's going on? How can I help you? Let me bring you over. What's your project? So they engage in hospitality. So it's all about, you know, the bartender, the crossover is the hospitality. How you're making somebody
feel. Yeah, I think you have covered your success mantra as well, right? So in terms of active listening, understanding the pain points, and then taking notes, and most importantly, coming up with some suggestions and providing it to the customer, right? So I think this is a great perspective. And as I started listening to you, I think there is a lot of eye-opening stuff coming out, so which is great. And now let's shift gears and talk about the book. Like, what inspired you to write the bar tips? Everything I needed to know in sales, I learned behind the bar. So how did the idea for this book come about?
Well, number one, it was a COVID project. Right?
So, yeah.
And I think like most of us,
yeah,
we were looking for projects and things to do to not help us not drive ourselves crazy, right?
Yeah.
And ironically enough, I went to dinner. I live here on a golf course campus now. I went up to had dinner up at the local restaurant here right on campus. And I wound up, I saw some old friends. I wound up going over and having dinner with them. And I looked over on the bar and who's there? The guy who inspired me to write the book.
Wow.
I haven't seen him in 4 years, 3 or 4 years. We talk all the time. We text. He's very successful. Back again. He had a life-saving surgery because his initial success took him to, you know, behaviors that made him need the life-saving surgery. But he's an amazing man, and he's very big into AI. So he's doing a lot of training in AI. So we both shared last night though. You know, because my thing is when I talk about my book, and I'll get back to the process in a second. I say one of my talks is tech is no threat to me.
I'm not afraid of AI.
It's certainly not at this stage of my life, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so when we had during COVID, when we would have, I would have these daily reach outs. One of the things that we prescribe in our program called Positive Activity, which is there's a chapter on it in the book, is, you know, to get your mindset right in the morning, there's a number of things that you can do to get it right before you start your day. And one is a reach out. Check in with an old friend.
Yeah.
So in this case, I was doing it. Yeah, I was doing it for their they're thinking that, well, thanks, Neil, for reaching out. And I just, this isn't altruistic. I'm doing this for me too, right? So anyway, so Terry winds up, invariably back then, I would get a call back too. So Terry calls me back and he tells me about his journey over the last 18 months since he had this life-saving surgery. He tells me about this book he wrote and this, that, and the other thing. I was blown away. Terry, jeepers creepers, you've done so much in the last 18 months and it was impressive and all that. And he says, you should write a book. What am I
going to do?
Yeah, I've had a nice life. I don't owe anybody anything. And, you know, and we live well. And, you know, we've been very successful in our lanes, you know, and we've always been independent, small business people and pretty successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about it. And I'd done some writing on one of the places that I mentioned earlier, the Full Sail, because we had just had a birthday party for one of our guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a very nostalgic and emotional party because it just brought us all back there, you know? And so I wrote something on that. And then I had written something on this place, White Horse Beach, which is where the Full Sail was. And so I had those two pieces. I had done some research on because I had this hospitality thing in my head for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had done some research on how other companies use hospitality and engagement, whatever you want to call it, to with their customers.
Yeah.
You know, there's a men's store in Atlanta, I believe, that's got a gumball machine on the way out the door.
Yeah.
Now, it's fun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hospital. Hey, have a gumball on the way out, you know, whatever it may be. So we were at my daughter, again, back here on campus. My daughter was being honored by the Chamber of Commerce as someone that was, you know, she was at the time, she was under 30. And she was like, I don't know where you're at, but I'm sure you're involved with the Chamber, been to a Chamber event. You know, they've got an award for everything. Well, her award was the people to watch under 30. So we went to the event. And there was a gentleman who brought Five Guys burgers.
Oh,
he was the keynote.
Yeah,
and he was a very good speaker, very nuts and bolts, plain talk, less is more, and that's my style. I said, I don't know, I just, I don't want to break out the thesaurus. and try to understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
give it to me in, you know, in plain language. And one of the books I read in order to write this book was a book called On Writing Well.
Mm.
That's his philosophy. Short sentences, no big words, say it like you mean it. So this guy, he talked about how, I don't know if you ever worked in hospitality at all, but for those of your listeners that have, you'll probably remember pre-meal. Pre-meal is where they got the servers together or the team together, or whatever it may be, and they talked about what is out, you know, what the specials are, you know, what might be coming tonight, who might, you know, might be big parties, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give a little bit of a rah-rah speech, right?
Mm.
Let's go have a great night, whatever that may be. Well, his speech was to his team, this is Five Guys Burgers, he'd say, we are not in the burger business. We're not in the fry business. We're not in the shake business. We're not in the soda business. We're in the hospitality business. Now, for a point of context, my wife and I met at a place called Tia's in Boston. Well, I was a bartender and she was a food waitress. And we're in business together. We've been, for the last 27 years, we've had a small marketing firm. And I looked at her and I said, I've never left the hospitality business. I've been bartending on the road for 30 plus. So all the things. And then I started to research and interview and talk to people that I used to work with, people that own the places that I worked at. And was just had a blast doing it. The writing part was phenomenal. The interviewing part, you know, having a 2-hour conversation with this woman, Lori Lilly, who was an amazing woman in business in Boston. You know, created an iconic restaurant and bar. Although the last time I was in there, it didn't look the same, but I'm sure it still does well. So it was just so much fun. And so enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the publishing process?
That's
not a
yeah.
But anyways, so that's kind of how it all evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And it went out on Amazon in March. It's done very well. The reviews have been very good. I'm getting, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a text or an email or something from a friend. Or post on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. That who knew from a guy who got C in English.
Very nice. And in fact, the Guiding Voice is also the COVID project. It all started in May 2020, and from there is no looking back. And that the resemblance, and I'm inspired by your story. It's so great. Well, it's let's move forward, and maybe
it's
you can
a minor
share your
inspiration. It's a C plus inspiration. Yeah. But it does prove out that if you stay diligent,
yeah,
be curious,
yeah,
you know, try to find what your niche is,
yeah,
you know, I think back on things that you've learned that you're gleaning
right
from your parents, your teachers, whatever that means, your little pearls of wisdom, you know, not necessarily the book learning you did, but
yeah,
you know, what was that, you know, what did your grandfather tell you? And put it into practice.
Yeah, but in my opinion, inspiration is inspiration, whether it is A or C or D or E, you did it and you were inspiring. Let's move forward, and maybe you can also share how your experiences in bartending shape your approach to sales and business interactions.
Well, it starts out back, if you go back to my struggles with school and try to figure out, and also overcoming the inadequate feeling that I got from failing, it was believing in my process and staying with it. I think some of the most successful all of the most successful salespeople I know follow a process. Now, they may tweak it, right? They'll make a change, this, that, and that's what I profess this book to be, is not an absolute. It's a roadmap. This is what worked for me. These things I found interesting. I found these in a retrospect that these are the tips that I gleaned from my, you know, retrospective look during a very difficult time for us, right?
And so I would encourage everybody to buy the book, sure. Find what works for you. And then all of it is really kind of basic stuff. There's no complex marketing theory. It's just kind of good, gentle nudge reminders of being nicer, smile, have some humor.
So, yeah, awesome. Now let's also elaborate on the soft skills you acquired as a bartender that proved invaluable in the corporate world.
Well, I think the basics are always been a fundamentals guy. I still to this day can tell you the fast break drill we did in high school in basketball. Outlet, middle, fill the lanes, trailer. I don't even recognize what they do today. Honestly, that's a whole other kettle of fish. Basketball ended when Larry Bird retired, as far as I'm concerned. But I would suggest that, that things like just giving a proper greeting, introducing yourselves properly, smile, nod, listen to what they have to say. Let them talk. I'm talking about in social situations, in along with business situations. Who wants to be with the person that is just talking about them and their kids and this, that, and the other thing? It's like, tell me about you. So the first question, how are you? Tell me about you. What's going on today? How's your business? How's this? How's your family? Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Tell me, elaborate more. Oh, she's going to Boston University. What's she going to be studying? Kidding. Fantastic. Can't wait. So now you're leaning in, you're nodding. So you're giving that great first impression.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say, to back the truck up for a moment, for the love of Mike, show up on time.
Yeah.
Show up on time. As a matter, you know what on time is, Naveen?
Yeah.
15 minutes early. Don't be the people that are known. Don't be the salesperson, the couple, the whatnot. They're always running late. Then you're always running late sales guy. Oh yeah, Neil's coming, but we know he's going to be 10 minutes late. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Bad impression. It's just like you're always, and then, oh my, again, at least, especially if you're meeting a customer for the first time, be properly dressed. Be overdressed. Yeah. You can, and you know the old adage.
Yeah.
You can never be overeducated or overdressed. So think about in the book, there's a chapter that was actually inspired by Lori Lilly, the woman that I mentioned earlier. It's called Attitude, Aptitude, and Appearance.
Wow.
What is your attitude today?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you've heard the old adage on attitude, attitude is everything. Do you know aptitude? Do you know what you're talking about? Your appearance. How do you look? Are you well kept? Are you well kept? I mean, did you shave today?
Yeah.
I tell my son all the time, because he's on air a lot. And I say, Cam, I watch these guys on air sometimes, these young guys. They think it's okay to have a stubble. I'm going to clue you in. It's not for the general public. Sure, it looks cool and whatnot, but to me, it's almost, it's not insulting, but it certainly is disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't have time to take the razor around your face, put on a top. Open collar is nice with a jacket, whatever it may be. But even to this day, when we go on a first appointment, I wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm going to walk in and somebody's going to be in flip-flops in that place.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So it's like, again, it goes back to what your mother told you. So it's not always about some complex theory. So that would be my answer to that question.
Yeah, very nice. The key takeaway is you can never be overeducated or overdressed. Awesome. And
I didn't come up with that. I R&D'd that.
You know what R&D nice. Means? Yeah. I'm R&D'ing you.
What does R&D mean?
Research and development.
No, rip off and duplicate.
Nice, nice, so nice. Rip up and duplicate.
To rip up and duplicate anything I say.
Very nice. I'll R&D Neil.
There you go.
Awesome. And
because, you know, let's face it, there really are no new ideas.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, do we have to watch another Bachelor or Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelorette? You know, it's like, my goodness. Of course, I don't watch any of it. I've never. I can say to you with all honesty, I've never seen a real reality TV show ever.
Oh,
Survivor's been on 35 years. Never seen an episode.
Yeah. All right. Let's move forward. And Neil, were there any specific challenges you faced during your transition from the hospitality industry to the corporate world? And how did you overcome them?
My first foray out was I sold athletic footwear and apparel in New York. And I really sold products that nobody wanted. So one of my first tips when you go into positive activity on the business development side of positive activity, you got to sell something that somebody wants. You can't create your own market. Now there could be I'm talking about as a salesperson only. I'm not saying I want to stop all the creative thoughts of young entrepreneurs that are inventing things that nobody ever thought of before. But I let them think about them, them figure it out, and I'll go sell them.
Right? Mm.
So that was a challenge. And I was living in New York City. I loved it. It was great. Learned a lot about myself and how to get around and all that. But I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, whoever you're going to work for, again, I'm speaking as a salesperson, how are they invested in your success? Right? Is it just kind of like, okay, go have at it. Good luck. Hope it all works out for you. Or is there some guidance, some mentorship, you know? And that to me is key to your success.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a challenge for me. But I overcame that, and I went back. I came back to the Boston area, and so I got back on track in what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I knew a friend of mine that was working for a food distributor as a sales manager, and I said, "Listen, can you get me in?" So he brought me in. I was starving, so I had to go back behind the bar to work on weekends in order to have money. And but I loved that. You know, I went back and then I got started, and it was a competitive environment because we worked for this company called SS Pierce, which doesn't exist anymore, but you were competed with Monarch Foods and Cisco and whatnot. And it was always very price driven. So you had to have something in order to get an order. And my thing was, my soft skills that I learned as a bartender. I showed up. I was nice. I was well presented. I was organized.
Mm-hmm.
I had my stuff ready to talk about. I knew what I was talking about to a limit, you know, because there was hundreds of thousands of products in the food distributorship.
Yeah.
And so, one of the things, so a key takeaway from that is, don't fake it till you make it about product knowledge. If you don't know, be honest and say, you know, I don't know, but I'll find out and I will get back to you. And then be sure that you get right back to them. Right?
Yeah.
Get the answers and you get right back to them. That's respect for their time. They saw you, you didn't know what you were talking about. Get the answers, make it happen.
Let's move forward. And here comes the next question. Can you share an anecdote or a challenging situation that taught you a significant lesson about sales or the corporate environment?
So in as a bartender or as both?
Both.
Okay. So one of the things that I learned early on is, it's again in the chapter on taking ownership when a business problem arises, the harsh lesson is being right is overrated. Don't push your rightness on someone. Like you think, okay, no. So if a problem comes up, start here. What was my role in it? How could have I done better? you know, don't just lash out and say, you know, say, well, you know, the guy in the truck didn't pick it right. This, that. As a matter of fact, the customer should never even know that you had the problem. Oh, this didn't show up. Okay, no problem. Make it happen. Take the onus to correct the code, to go get the product, to do whatever it is, and keep it seamless and away from the client view.
Does that make sense? Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll give you a bar example.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Dennis Mayer, who I haven't seen in years, and I love it. So shout out to Dennis if you're watching this podcast. Call Neil. Dennis was a brilliant guy. Didn't quite know why he was working in the bar with us, but he was also a good bartender. Brilliant guy. And he poured, a woman asked for a vodka martini straight up. So he pours the vodka martini straight up, just as he always has. Put it in front of her. She took a sip. She goes, "This isn't dry enough." So Dennis comes over to me and he says, "I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never put a drop of vermouth in a martini." So what does he do? I get in an argument with the woman. I can say, I never put any vermouth in here. This is very good. Or he grab the shaker glass, fill it up with ice, pour the vodka in, demonstrate. The vermouth bottle doesn't even come in his hand. He shakes it up, stirs it up. You get how, you know, James Bond shakes it up, stirs it up. You get which one it was. And he puts it down in front of her. Saints, this is good. Visual. There is that. I mean, I've done so many of these interviews now, and if that piece get across the. And don't get me wrong. I'm not an overly patient guy, you know, in certain aspects of my life, but I have all the patience in the world for a customer because I believe the old adage, the customer is always right. Now, we all know the customers can't be unreasonable.
Yeah.
You know, that's that whole nother kettle of fish. As if an example, if she said, "Nope, still not dry enough." Okay, there's nothing I can do now. I've shown you. I've demonstrated. We don't put vermouth in the vodka bottles. Vodka. Done.
Right. Loved it. Simply loved it. Yeah, I love the conversation and especially the story that you have narrated so well. And I think there is a solution for every problem. And I think coming up with the solutions is important, irrespective of what profession we are in. That's my key takeaway. Now let's talk about the key takeaways from your book, okay, which you think are greatly beneficial for aspiring salespeople or individuals that are aiming to succeed in their careers.
Well, I think it bears repeating, and I think I am repeating myself on this, but I think you have to get your process, your algorithm, your whatever you want to call it, and adhere to it. At least if you start something, well, they say 21 days to change a habit. I say 90 days on any new process. Now, maybe you can tweak it along the way, even as you go, but what we call positive activity process down, you know, and follow it. We like to start our day with a positive mindset because there are tried and true, scientifically proven techniques to help aid in that. And we teach those. And then so you take care of those before you open your inbox and get all annoyed with what the day is going to bring. And then follow your process. So if you make a deal with yourself that you're going to make 10, you know, 20 prospecting emails, send some direct mail. And oh, by the way, I'm going to tell your audience, I don't know if they're all technical in nature or whatnot.
Mostly direct, technical, yeah.
Direct mail is up in 2023.
Wow.
If you really want to get a hold of some, if you really want to cut through the digital noise that's out there, send them something. Make it lumpy. Put a pen in there. Make it dimensional. Those are the things, and that's what we prescribe in our, so in our business development process, we subscribe to the theory of seven. That it's going to take you seven significant touches. Now, in the digital world, it's a lot more from what I understand. I don't know what they are. I'm not very digitally savvy. I've got my son that manages all of my digital stuff for my book, and he's brilliant at it. But even he'll go, oh, it's still a crapshoot every time you do it. Here's what's not a crapshoot. As a matter of fact, do you know who Mike Rowe is?
No, I don't know.
Mike Rowe is the guy. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Dirtiest Jobs.
I haven't gone through it.
He's world renowned, and he's we sent him a kit. We got a response today.
Wow.
You know, how many correspondents do you think that guy, a guy like that, gets in the course of a day? So we talk about getting your mind right, and then having your business development process, having structured campaigns for follow up on people that you meet, right? You meet somebody at a cocktail party, and you talk about what you do, and they're interested. We might be able to use that. Well, here's a clue. Here's a tip for you. They're not going to be sitting by their phone waiting for your call tomorrow.
Yeah. No.
You have to put them in queue. How are we going to follow up? And it demonstrates that you actually have some interest in doing business with them. That you send them something. So you have your own process. So you have got your in the can process. But you should also be looking out for opportunities to send them things that are germane to their business. Here's what we do, but here's how we can help you based on this article I read, and break out a hold on one second, break out the old tried and true highlighter, right, and highlight it for them. Draw attention to what you're trying to tell them. And then have your promotional items. Make sure you've got something with your name on it. Something that's going to be around their desk. Here's our little calendar we send out to all of our customers. You see what that says it there?
Yeah.
Son?
Yeah.
It says Neil.
Right? Yeah.
Right? We send these to our customers every year. They call us or email us in December and say, I haven't got my calendar yet. Now, they forget we send it in March. We send our calendars in March because guess what? That's different.
Yeah.
We're doing something different. We're not doing what everybody else does. So creativity. So when you've got your mind right, you're in a place of positivity, which then opens your mind up for solution providing, divergent thinking, creativity. And it doesn't, you don't have to be an artist. I'm not an artist. You know, what does it take to get an article off the internet and print it off, highlight the passage you want them to see, send it to them. And oh, by the way, track it so you know when it lands, then make your phone call. Then send your text, then send your email, whatever that may be. And don't forget the phone. Now, you don't, in this world, I would suggest that if you are going to call somebody that you have never called before, you should ask him if it's okay to call.
Yeah.
That would be the respect for their time.
Yeah. I do that.
Tell them a little bit passionate about that. Huh? We lost last year, a little small company. We lost $1 million client.
Oh my God.
Imploded on us.
No,
we didn't. We didn't do anything wrong. They went away. They went out at $17 in July public. And in January, they were trading in the cents. So we've had to replace that business. No, it's not easy. Even, it's not easy. We don't sell $500,000 pieces of software.
Yeah.
You know, this is a, you get back $1 million worth of business in our business. You got to do a lot of prospecting, a lot of highlighting, a lot of whatever it may be. And that works. And we're, awesome. I would suggest we're probably half to three quarters of the way back on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. Excellent tips. And this has been great conversation so far. And it's time to add some more excitement, Neil. So get ready as we dive into a series of intriguing rapid-fire questions to spice up the episode further. So all you have to do is answer those questions crisply, okay, without thinking much. If you're ready, I'll kick off the second rapid-fire.
Sure. Let's have it.
Okay.
See how my extemporaneously, extemporaneous speech is today.
Yeah. Love it. And if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
It would say respect.
Mm, awesome. And what is one thing that you are really bad at that you wish you were better or good at?
Well, I'm not really bad at it, but I'd like to be a better musician.
Mm, nice. And can you describe yourself in just one word?
Fun.
And what is your favorite thing about living in the 21st century?
Wow. Jeez. I mean, you know why? You know what it is? I get to be here.
Ah. Yeah,
you know,
indeed.
The likelihood that we'd be here at this time?
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's a great thing about this current time, for sure. And here comes my next bullet. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I'd like great healing power I have a son with autism, so I'd like to have great healing power.
Mm, I wish you get it soon. And here comes the last bullet, Neil. What is one electronic gadget or a fantasy gadget that you'd like to see or invent yourself?
I think based on what you've... based on our conversation, you can see I'm kind of really old school. So it's I would suggest. Oh goodness me! Well, I think the invention or this discovery. I think I'll go back to what you know my son's affliction is, and it's mm-hmm. autism, but it's also mm-hmm. he has apraxia. Is what affects his ability, not his ability to speak and his fine mm-hmm. motor skills. So I'd like an invention
mm-hmm.
or discovery, let's say, that allowed him to speak with his mouth.
Wow. And sorry to hear that. It's so
emotional. I don't want to end it on a bummer, Naveen. As a matter of fact, if you've got 2 seconds, I'll tell you, he is communicating with us. He communicates through spelling.
Mm.
He spells. So his fine motor skills aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
His front motor cortex is working with his apraxia, sending the signals to the mouth and the tongue and all that, but he can point. So my wife has been very diligent and has done a lot of speaking, a lot of communicating. I've started the last 3 weeks. Yesterday I read him a lesson on cells. And mm-hmm. it was a biology lesson, and the acronym DNA came up.
Mm-hmm.
So we can. Mm-hmm. So I read him the lesson, and my instructor who was watching me, you know, I said, you know, what should I ask him? She goes, ask him what DNA means.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He spelled it out.
Wow.
He knew what it meant.
Awesome.
I don't know how he knows.
Yeah. Superb.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, very nice.
So
and that that's a great rapid fire. Let's get back to the mainstream. And what will be your advice to someone just starting their career in sales and drawing from your own experience and the lessons in your book? One piece of advice.
Get the basics down before you chase the shiny new red tech toy.
Wow.
Blocking, your tackling, your fundamentals down.
Mm-hmm. Superb. Nice. Very nice. And before I let you go, how is your experience being hosted on the Guiding Voice platform? Did it meet your expectations or any feedback that you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's been awesome, man. You're very
very prompting questions, very very great conversation. You got a lot of me, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I did.
Should do?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm thrilled to have this conversation. Initially, I was skeptical, like how bartending to sales, but after engaging in this conversation, it was truly enlightening for me, and personally, I had a lot of takeaways. Thank you so much.
So, the last thing I'll leave you with is the difference between bartending and sales.
Mm-hmm.
Is in bartending,
mm-hmm.
the customers come to you.
Mm-hmm.
In sales, you got to go find the customers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the linchpin. That's the part that people, so you have to be able to go and make it happen. You have to take rejection, and you have to be thin skinned and all that, because you're behind the bar, you're the star. Everybody wants to come and see you. Yeah. You pour a great drink, take care of me and all that. But if you go out and sell something, there's like, here comes an insurance salesman. Who wants to talk to them? Nobody. But a good insurance salesman has their process.
Superb. Fabulous. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you taking time to join me today and sharing your valuable insights. And also thanks to Cam for facilitating this, for scheduling this and making it happen. And thank you once again, Neil. And have a fantastic time ahead. And I look forward to hosting you again in future, and wish you all the very best on your book. I'm sure it is going to do really well, and it is going to become a chartbuster. Congratulations. That's again.
Yeah. Sing it from the mountaintops, Naveen. Bar tips on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Let's have at it. Come on, guys. Get out there and buy one. Write me a nice review. I think you'll like it.
Absolutely. And you'll find the link to the book in the show notes, guys. So please grab a copy. And once you read, definitely leave a review. That is going to help Neil in terms of understanding the feedback and also coming up with the next version, maybe. All right. So thank you. And friends, that was our episode with Neil Rogers. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast, because subscribing keeps you updated on new episodes. And also, if you have loved this conversation and found it useful, request you to share with at least three of your friends or colleagues who would also like the Guiding Voice. So please spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. And your support means a lot. Let us create more content for you and also for our community. And let's learn together on this journey. Now, let's talk about the trivia. You know, we had amazing conversation about bartending to sales. So I thought I would share you a few facts around salespeople. And here comes the very first fact. The longest serving sales representative, Joe Girard, holds the Guinness World Record for being the world's greatest salesman. And he sold 13,001 cars at a Chevrolet dealership between 1963 and 1978. So salute to him. I think he's been a great inspiration.
Joe Girard, you say?
Yeah. Joe Girard. That's right.
That's a tough gig. I guarantee you, Joe does the same things every day.
For sure. And here comes the second one. First saleswoman, the first female salesperson in the United States was Lydia Pinkham, who created a herbal medicinal tonic in the 1870s. And she personally sold the tonic and gave health advice to her customers. And the third one is about the elevator pitch, the origins of elevator pitch. And the term elevator pitch comes from the idea of a salesperson needing to deliver a concise and compelling pitch within the time it takes for an elevator ride, typically around 30 seconds to 2 minutes. So that is the secret of the elevator pitch term, and it comes from the sales origin. So likewise, if you are aware of any interesting trivia related to sales, I would love to go through your comments, and you feel free to comment it on YouTube if you are watching it there, or if you have found this episode on social media platform, and if you are listening to this on audio platform, please share your comments either through social media or you can email us. Also, and that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome community. We would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas and also feedback through our social media or email. Our email address is theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com. And let us create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Naveen Samala, a lifelong learner. And my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. And stay connected as we journey together. Until next time, take care. stay inspired and remember the future holds great things because the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you all in the next episode with another amazing guest. Take care.